So you've listened to Film Sack for a couple of years, let's say, and you're thinking to yourself, this is all I've ever tried. I don't know what else is going on the Frog Pants Network. I got news for you. There's plenty more. Go to frogpants.com today. Check out what's waiting for you, other podcasts, cool artwork, and more. That's frogpants.com. Now on with the show.
I told him it was a waste of time, and this was obviously a drug hit. Whatever they came for, they found. Now, I figure they came aboard at night, they killed everyone, and they threw the bodies overboard.
You figure all that out by yourself?
What? Shit!
What could a young cop like you want with an old fossil like me? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 203, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian, if I have to hear the word hypothalamus one more time, Dunaway.
Delicious. Holy crap, Fred. I just passed by the hot scientist lady's office, and she was in there with the creepy German lady in professor wheelchair, talking about shit on a leaf and topless ushers. What a bunch of freaks, Fred. Fred, you in there, man? Come on, pass me a smoke. Yeah. Fred!
Pass me your doobie.
Pass me your doob.
Nicely
or did he
done.
Escape out of that public restroom window? Weird.
His head didn't. Also with us, Randy, smoking pot on the shitter, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian, this week on FilmSec, I'm just giving you fair warning. Flat out, my friends, I am going to make an art out of talking about anything other than this week's movie. I am going to distract you with questions, quips, comments, and hold on, while I'm greeting you, I'm also changing clothes right over here, over and over. It's going to be the whole episode. I'm going to be changing clothes and talking about my hypothalamus.
Excellent. And with us finally, Brian, hey lady, your inhaler sounds like a hell creature ibbot.
We've secretly replaced the coffee at this museum gala with crack cocaine. Let's see if anybody notices.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. It's the relic, everybody. The relic. And
not the relish, which I watched first and was all about hot dog documentary.
Ooh, I'd relish. Watch that. The relish?
Right? The relish.
It's really interesting, especially if you start with fresh cucumbers.
Sounds great.
That's where you should start and then go from there.
I don't have much to say about this before Fletcher does, except that this is the movie where I learned that my very young little toddler of a daughter could sleep through anything because we took her to the movie theater to watch this.
Wow.
And she slept through the entire loudness of this thing, and that's when we knew it was cool to take her to movies. And for her entire childhood, never had a problem with any movies ever. She'd sleep through every one of them, never cried, amazing. Never had to change, nothing. Right. The other two, different story altogether. They were terrible, but she was
worth it. Now that you say that, I didn't have a problem sleeping through this movie either.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Now that you
lights
mention
were
it.
Out.
Well, let's let Scott Fletcher has more to say on the subject. He explains more, and he does it right here.
The Relic. A biological mutant goes loose during blah, 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 museum, blah, 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 monster flick. A cop and two scientists try to blah, 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 before blah, 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 blah.
There you go. That's pretty good.
That's pretty much it.
I see that Scott Fletcher is in my camp on this movie.
I don't know, man. Like, The Relic is... It doesn't, there's a lot of things that just don't hold up, and there's a lot of tropes and there's a lot of crap going on, but I kind of remember liking it in the theater when it first showed. And this was before everything had been CGI'd to the point that monsters actually looked cool and you could do dynamic, cool things with them. So what little CGI you threw at a project like this looked really out of place and kind of bad. And that's what happened here. But at the time I remember thinking, this is all right. This is okay. And I thought Tom Sizemore was cool. And you know, this is before he went into the depths of hell and back in his own personal life. And now, I mean, I don't know if you've seen his IMDb listing. If you haven't, I would direct your attention there now because there is some weird. I mean, I know the guy. So he's out of rehabs and all his 50 rehabs and stuff now, and he's working again. But just look at his filmography. They're all in pre and post production, mostly post production. So if you go from, I don't know, third movie down, post production all the way down.
This is someone who has been working very hard this year.
Yeah, because they're all this year, and they're none of this is stuff you're going to see, like Private Number and Laugh Killer Laugh.
What's Tom Sizemore doing these days?
You know the
everything.
Oh yeah, I've got a new podcast lined up with Tom Sizemore.
Great,
totally be a good year to do that.
But I mean, the guy's fallen from such lofty heights. He had such great moments in Saving Private Ryan and. Black Hawk Down. What was the other one? The other big one. Heat. He's great in Heat.
How do you Devil have in a Blue Dress. To do all this?
Natural Born Killers. Wyatt Earp. Whatever. Wyatt Earp wasn't great. True Romance. Passenger 57. We've seen him on this very thing before.
Yes.
Point Break. Pearl Harbor. Red Planet. I mean, big movies. Not always great movies, but big movies, right? Then, then drugs, then porn, then
drugs and porn.
And then nothing. Like, in it's that all order? Crap after that. Anyway,
These all porn movies?
Some of these might be.
That might explain the frequency at which they're coming out. The Intruders, probably.
Talking about bordering on bad behavior. That sounds about right.
Deep Burial?
Yeah. Like, see?
Kind of weird.
Bordering on bad behavior?
2014's upcoming Clandestine? Huh?
All right. I am interested in this. Night of the Living Dead Origins 3D. That sounds actually kind of good.
No, it doesn't. None of this is good. No. None of this is good. You're a liar. But this was
trying to put a positive spin on it.
This was a time when so this came out in 97. And this was a time when Tom Sizemore bordered on that kind of almost leading man kind of quality. He was good. He was a good actor. Right, I think he's rattled now and things are messed up. But there was a time there where you were like, that guy's all right. And he was good. I think he was good in this. Sizemore is not the problem with The Relic. In my humblest of opinions,
I agree.
Lighting is the problem.
there's that.
There are no lights,
and it's not even a word problem or bad or anything. It's just an adequate movie. It's a satisfactory movie.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's nothing
by the numbers, right?
It really is. There's nothing extraordinary about it. There's nothing.
Well, I will say the makeup stuff is pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh, sure. Well,
that was pretty good stuff.
Sure. Stan Winston's always good. It was okay. But again, you didn't get a lot of it for a long time. And then when you did get it, it was so obscured by no. I mean, every time, this is true. My wife would say, that movie is so dark. And I say,
can you even see it?
I'd go, there are no lights. I'd say it every time. Because there's no light in this movie. I mean, it's really that bad. When I had to watch it on a computer screen, I cranked my brightness up all the time.
Right. I'm all gamma up over here. Gamma.
Just jacking up my retina trying to see this thing. I don't remember it being that dark in the theater, but I guess they're hiding a lot.
I think, it's a lot different when you're in a theater. You can get away with a lot darker film at the theater than you can on TV or at home or anything. I had like the Blu-ray copy and it was still hard to see. The resolution was there, but it was just of what?
Just was dark. And darkness. It's funny because I get this movie confused with Mimic all the time. The other one we saw that was very similar and like, you know, museum
Mimic. Night at the museum.
But that one also suffered from just being too dark.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. That was a Del Toro joint, and I like that movie infinitely more than I like this one.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. I think it's a better movie. But I did, something hit me, and I'd love to hear everyone's opinion on this, but it hit me while I was watching this very 90s era movie. It feels like the 90s to me. Like that decade is starting kind of to coagulate and solidify into a thing that you can point at culturally and say, all right, well, these are some of the things that the 90s represented. And I think that's been hard for a while to do that because it hadn't really formed in our head yet. And these decades take a while to figure out what their voice was. And in film, I feel like this is just the atypical, lots of dark blue lighting, action movie 90s kind of thing going on. And it got me to thinking that there's very little. I know that there are going to be examples that you could throw at me right now that would contradict this. But I feel like movies in the 90s are a pretty shallow affair. Mm-hmm. Like there is just nothing to look at to go.
Okay, hold it.
I know there's some big stuff. I know all the Tarantino business, all this other stuff happened in the 90s. Shawshank, sure. There are examples, right?
Right.
I just want to talk about 1997.
All right, let's talk about 97. Let's do that year.
That 1 year, and I want to use Brian Ibbett's word, because that was the year of Titanic, which was huge. Mm-hmm. That was the year of Men in Black, which was adequate.
Huge and empty. That's you're describing the movies I'm talking about, but keep going.
Men in Black was adequate.
Huge
Air Force
and empty.
One was that year.
Huge
adequate.
And empty. Yeah.
As Good as It Gets was amazing and won awards. It was the year of Liar Liar, which was adequate. It was the year of...
Yeah, adequate. Adequate is exactly what I'm describing. Mm-hmm.
Like Mimic.
Well, my point is the Relic doesn't belong in this list. 1987 was The Fifth Element. It was The Full Monty. It was a huge year at the box office.
Even
at
the
least.
Adequate movies are better than the...
right, and Relic. That's what I'm getting at. Relic doesn't... Relic. I mean, we all watched As Good As It Gets and L.A. Confidential and so forth, and this movie, it shouldn't have ever been in a movie theater.
There's just so there's so many of these movies, though, that came from that time that we've seen on this show, and they all, to me, fit. And I'm not saying that there aren't good movies in the 90s. Obviously, there are. You've just named a bunch, and there are others that we haven't even talked about, but... There is a mainstream thriller, perhaps, genre that all felt the same to me. And as I look back on them now, they feel more samey than they ever did at the time. And I think I thought that stuff was better when I was there. So I think I really thought The Relic was cool in 97. And I think I really thought The Crow was cooler than it is. You know, there are going to be the movies that really stick out to me from the 90s or any era really are the weird independent things that do last the test of time. But
right.
There were a lot of movies like this of crap.
We were heading straight long into, you know, AOL and the internet territory here. So I think entertainment kind of got fractured there for a little while. I think TV did okay during the 90s.
Can I give you three film sack movies from 97?
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah.
So Anaconda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same year. Con Air.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same year.
Mm-hmm.
And Starship Troopers.
Oh, wow. See? Look at us. Mm-hmm.
And I'd say two of those far and away better than this. One
I feel like Anaconda and Relic are on the same
pretty close tied,
same pace.
All right. So directed by Peter Hyams. Now, we know him because Sudden Death, Time Cop, 2010, The Year We Made Contact, and Outland are all his films.
Right.
And they're all movies we've done. We've been a real busybody here on FilmSack watching his movies, not really even knowing it.
And he's still got to have a job. It's amazing.
Here's the deal. He is a product of the time that he was not the director we wanted, but he was the director the 90s needed. and some of the stuff's older than that, obviously 2010 and Outland. And I, for one, thought Outland had some moments. I know we weren't all super fond of that movie, but he's again, your word adequate fits here. He's an adequate director for the material. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing terrible about this. There's nothing great about this. It's just kind of... middle of the road, monster, scream of the week.
God, I had to turn it down.
Yeah, it was pretty loud.
Oh, man, the movie starts out quiet, and there's a boat, and it somehow pilots itself into
your TV.
Ghost ship.
Your TV and your stereo struggle with this movie. It's like, yeah, I can't turn up the lights and the volume down at the same time.
There's a cat on the boat, and its only existence is to scare the hell out of me really, really loud. Yep. And mm-hmm. I went from whatever my volume was to exactly 50% of that volume.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Pretty early.
That cat was needed to be not black so you could help explore his...
Was there a cat? Because I heard the cat, but I never saw the cat.
Yeah, we saw it. They showed him. He was like a... I mean, again, it was kind of dark and obscure, but
I was probably adjusting the lighting about that time.
It's more like a tabby cat or something, like that kind of alley cat looking cat. But the point was he needed to express to us, the audience, his superstitions, and that was one way they did it. That not walking over bodies or I can't remember.
Right, which I think is bad luck anyway, because you're probably going to trip. You're going to look really stupid if you trip over a dead body.
Well, it was also kind of a chick in the bucket because there was no resolution to why any of his superstitions have any impact on what's happening now.
Right. He didn't turn into that thing because he was superstitious.
Right. Right. If he would have been like none of this was bad luck. Obviously he was meticulous about his bad luck things. He stopped a guy from stepping over the body. He, you know, said, is that a black cat? No, it's not. Okay, good. But then a giant creature of mythological origins is suddenly in the damn museum and killing everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. It was never like, oh, good thing I'm this, or man, I was wrong to be so superstitious. This is real, or, you know, none of it. It was just like, you know, a chink in the bucket that wasn't a character.
Unrelated tangent.
Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to create a tension. It's supposed to create like a tension or something that never really got created, I think.
It never did for me. But anyway. Well,
and that's the museum's box office, man.
Right?
You don't mess with superstition.
You got your Penelope Ann Miller. You got your Linda Hunt, who I love and adore and everything she ever does. So she was a high point for me. If you don't know who she is, she's the little bartender lady in Lawrence Kasdan's 1984 epic Silverado. she's in a lot of other things, but I love her in that.
She's in Kindergarten Cop, which was one of my favorites.
Dune.
Yeah. You can see her on NCIS Los Angeles if you're so inclined.
Oh, that's she's in that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. She's just a fascinating person to look at.
Was she in Incredibles or was she just inspired?
She was inspired.
She inspired Edna Mode, yes.
Yeah, right.
Very much like her, though.
And there's a designer that also was a big inspiration for Edna Mode, too, and I can't remember who.
Well, plus that was just Brad Bird doing a dumb voice, and they kept it. So, according to the extras, he was like, you know, his own words, he was doing this voice just as a holder. And same with the turtle dude from Nemo. They're both the directors, and they just were good. It was a good enough performance. Whatever, like, you know what? We're keeping that, man.
Righteous.
That's kind of awesome. Okay.
So, but this movie is just overwhelmed by Tom Sizemore.
You think
Yeah. I can't stop thinking about Tom Sizemore.
Wow.
Well, of course not.
what does that mean?
Explain more. No. You mean he was overbearing in this?
No, it's just that there's something about him. Like, I think of it as a Tom Sizemore movie, and he's not even really the main anything. He gets the last line in the film, which actually the film ended all right. I was all right with the very, very, very end.
You don't mean the burning donkey creature exploding by the fish tank, right? You mean something else.
No. It's like the very last line in the film. Oh. And then they pan over to like a claw from the monster to give you this idea that they really want to make a sequel.
Yeah, they really did.
Right. Yes, yes. Did just you? Waiting for a little flick.
And then it zoomed out and that was it. But
Tom Sizemore just got to me like, oh wow, he's actually not bad, but I hate him, but I like him, but I don't understand why I have all these mixed feelings.
Help me understand my feelings.
I can't look away. I can't.
Well, he's so okay. Line up these movies. All right. Sudden Death. We'll do them in order here.
Okay.
Sudden Death. This movie. Mm-hmm. Time Cop. Oh, I did it in the wrong order. Sorry. Outland, 2010, Sudden Death, Time Cop, and then this. No, I think Time Cop's after
time
this.
Time Cop
doesn't
and
matter.
Then Sudden Death.
It doesn't,
then
time
this.
Cop can show up twice.
Funny thing is that it doesn't matter on the timing at all, and I don't know why I brought it up. So
we're
here's
doing
the
Time
thing.
Cop next week.
So here's the deal. Not again,
Have we not done Time Cop?
No, we did Time Cop. Don't forget, Ron Silver touched himself. Jeez. My perennial joke about Ron Silver touching himself has been lost forever now.
Brian Dunaway and I are joking that Time Cop can insert itself into our...
Okay. I was like, oh my God, I thought we saw that.
It's easy to forget, dude. So you got all those movies lined up on a row, and you got this one included in that list. I still say it's probably the best of those bunch, though. Which one's better? Is Time Cop a better movie than this?
I know.
I'd say Time Cop and Sudden Death are better than this. Yeah.
No.
Infinitely more watchable than this.
More watchable. That's different.
Yeah.
They're more watchable because the damn lights are on. But right. But I see what you're saying. This is a toss
down,
up for me.
I'd rather sit down and watch Time Cop or Sudden Death than this. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No, I'm just saying, like, across the whole board, I would just rather take a nap. Like, especially if you make me watch 2010 again, I will take a nap. I will put on those glasses with the eyes painted on the outside.
You don't like the Roy Scheider shorty shorts? You don't want to have that in your life again?
Okay. You want to listen to John Lithgow heavy breathe as he floats across space from one spaceship to another?
Oh,
for
my gosh, I forgot about that. He was in that.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I need to change out of my dress here.
He would one day outlaw dancing.
like unnecessary things like the shorty shorts are so all over this movie, like Margot changing her dress for no reason right there in her office. Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That was great. Penelope Ann Miller, man.
That's a trope, right?
Sure. That's a big trope. I'd call that a trope so worthy of this sound. People, it's Marion and Indiana Jones, man. That's the whole, you know.
I give you some more. The most recent Star Trek Into Darkness with Dr. Carol Marcus doing a lingerie scene for no good reason.
Yeah, remember that.
Right.
Let's see. There's, of course, World Is Not Enough, right? Christmas Jones. It is like, it's, this is, actually, you know what this is? This is the trope of the unnecessarily.
Christmas Jones? Hold on. Christmas Jones?
Yeah, that was Denise Richards.
Oh, her character was Christmas Jones. Christmas I was thinking Jones. You meant January Jones, and I got to thinking, there's no way she was.
Oh my God, how come I've never noticed that connection? That's kind of bizarre.
January Jones, Christmas Jones? You wonder if she has any, ooh, weird. All right. We're not going down that rabbit hole.
This is the trope. This is the trope of the unnecessarily
Jones.
The unnecessarily sexy scientist is here and there in movies like that. Gosh, we just Fantastic Four, Sue Storm is for some reason
always
way more sexy than she needs to be.
Always, yeah. I don't know. That's a Hollywood wide kind of a deal, right? It's a thing that sort of happens.
And it's not just women, by the way. Just so you know, like there is no reason for Tony Stark to be as attractive as he is while also being a scientist.
Hey, he's a millionaire playboy.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty character.
Billionaire playboy.
It's pretty comic book relevant, except to say that comic books they do the same thing. Yeah. So yes, great job having a young, you know, good looking scientist playboy, but the trope also happened in the comic. It's like we've always been bad at this.
When you look around actual hard science, for people to know so much information like these characters do, they've been scientists for 35 years. They just don't look like
they
this.
Can't be distracted by dates and friends. Cars, yeah. And
hey, anybody out there want to refute that? You know our email address. I'd like to hear more about your sexy hot science job.
Yeah, no, Cosmos guy is pretty good looking. He's okay. Decent looking.
Oh my gosh, he was 30 years ago.
Who are you talking about?
Tyson.
Neil deGrasse
Tyson, really?
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah,
I haven't seen old pictures. He's a good looking dude. Back
Neil deGrasse High.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you want it? Look up a picture. Look up Neil deGrasse Tyson in the 70s.
Like Magnum PI. What are you talking about?
Really? Wow.
Really good looking. Now he's just this chubby guy sitting in a campfire.
70s. Hold on. Okay. Oh yeah,
I've been it too. Yeah.
He is kind of a good looking dude. Oh, look at him with the burns, dude.
Right.
Like he wants to go put his fist in the air and boycott the Olympics. That's amazing. That looks great. Look at him. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Well, anyway, I didn't know that. That's
I didn't,
second one.
I didn't know
Jeez.
He was an attractive man. He's
a good looking dude.
We all get old and chubby, Brian Dunaway.
That's the joke. Yeah. Well, Dunaway keeps losing weight. I don't know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. The two sniffer dogs used to track down the creature in the sewer system are called Castor and Pollux, sharing the same names with the Troy brothers from John Woo's Face Off, another Film Sack movie, which in turn are named after, I never say this, Dioscuri from the Roman Greek mythology stuff.
Dioscuri.
Squeery.
No idea. Squeery. Dioscuri. I don't know how to pronounce that either, so I'm not stepping in.
Did you guys see Helen Roper from Three's Company?
Yes,
I worried about that. Is that who that was? I didn't.
That's
hear
who
it.
That is.
Audra Lindley. Yeah.
And she died right after making this. This is the last movie she made. So that was it for
Roper Heart.
No Roper reunions.
About men with no brains, and it's a small brain even for a man.
Yeah. That was her. Yeah, you do a pretty good Roper
she was great.
Impression.
Yeah, she was great. That was she that, was really, that whole. Yeah. That whole morgue scene made me think, wow, I wonder if a lot of this clever dialogue that are in the more modern TV sense, like CSIs and all that, it kind of spun from that. Because I was trying to think what happened before then.
It was really well done. That was some good dialogue in there, generally.
Yeah. Yeah. And what happened to the rest? Like, what happened to the rest of the dialogue? You know, what did they bring somebody in to write that scene? Or is it just the fact that her delivery was so much better than everyone else's that made that a very enjoyable scene in a vast wasteland of
yeah, but you know crap. What I you know what I did that entire scene? I imagined Jack Tripper was on the other side behind the door and he was pretending misunderstanding everything she was saying and thought it was all innuendo.
That's right.
That's how my brain works now.
Oh, from that one episode of Three's Company where there was a misunderstanding.
That one episode
of Gilligan's Island where they almost get off the island.
Yeah, where they real shark jumper, that one. Let's see here.
Talk about the mayor's tits?
Not yet. The improvised explosive Margot makes using two jars is almost identical to the one made by Jean-Claude Van Damme with his character in Sudden Death just a year and a half previous to that.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, it's like he reused it immediately, which is great.
Why not? Chemists love when people just start throwing stuff in a bottle.
This director was trying to make that a thing. You know, like, one day I'm going to be known for this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. Having just seen Spider-Man 2, all this like hybrid talk about, man DNA mixed with reptile and all that. I guess I paid more attention to it. Right. I don't remember any of that from the old one or when I saw it first. I remember just crazy thing in a museum killing people. I remember. I don't remember the tent or the vision quest or the Indian dudes or that guy.
No, it was very Rainbow and the Serpent at the beginning.
You know, I almost got confused for a minute because I was like, wait a minute. This isn't the movie where they bury. Wait a minute. And I'm like, no, that's not right.
Because they bury him, put a cross on his head and bury him in that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember not being able to deal with that movie because it has that guy who played Barfs or he played the Han Solo-like character in Spaceballs.
Right.
I can't think of his
president
name.
And ID4.
Yeah, I can't think of his name. We all know his name. Yes. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he had only done goofy stuff up to this point. Like, I think he was in War of the Roses or Really Bad People. Or what was the one with Danny DeVito, low-talking chick, and Mike Douglas? Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman was Serpent in the Rainbow.
Yeah, he was. But my point is, when I saw Serpent in the Rainbow, I couldn't deal with it because I had only seen him do comedy before that. And that movie was like super hardcore and dark. And I kept wanting him to crack wise, and he never did. And I don't know if you guys ever have that with a movie where, like, if you've seen nothing but Pet Detective,
right,
and you roll right into Sunshine of the Spotless Hoo Ha, mm-hmm. then you're going to be like, what the hell did I just walk into? Like, that would just throw you for a loop. And that's kind of what that was like. Yeah,
Punch Drunk Love for Adam Sandler, you know.
Hey, you couldn't deal with it. It's like, whoa, you were just Little Nicky like 5 minutes ago. What's this thing you're in?
So wait, why did we watch that?
The Serpent in the Rainbow, the other one that had Tim Robbins, is that Jacob's Ladder?
Oh, yeah, Jacob's Ladder.
Isn't that like Jack the Ripper jumps ahead in the time or something?
No, that's...
It might just be called
Time After Time.
Oh.
The one where H.G. Wells goes after
him? Right. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
That sounds terrible the way you just explained
it. Awesome. That is such a great movie.
That is a great movie. That's a whole movie, right?
After Time, 1979, Malcolm McDowell, Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah.
Oh, she would have been, this is before she was tainted by Ted Danson. Oh.
Before she got the stink of Danson on her?
The Danson taint.
Taint, I knew it.
I have a trope question for you.
Go for it. Wait, trope question. Wait, that's an easy one. Hold on, that's right here.
Bus throat.
Oh, wrong one. Gosh dang it. There you go.
There you go, perfect.
Why is there only magic back in Africa, back in the deep dark jungles of South America and so forth? Like, why? I would like to know why in these movies the magic can travel from its original location, where all the short naked people live, and there is no magic where all of the scientists live and so forth. Like,
it's because they're not.
It's this white man's disease. It's what we do.
Well, they're supposed to get an advantage over us because we don't believe in it, but yet it exists.
Yeah,
and I think that's what
magic
we're trying.
Won't go anywhere where a bunch of people don't believe in it.
Look, we are Lannisters, and they are wildlings. They know what's over there in the snow. They know what's coming down, but the Lannisters don't care. They're too busy screwing each other.
I'm just saying, in all these movies, the magic is happening. The real magic happens. In Papua New Guinea and the jungles of Brazil, you go to Chicago. There's no magic, zero magic.
There is.
You've never
Orlando.
Been to the right parts of Chicago.
There's magic in Orlando. That was really good.
Nicely done. What was I going to say? I have a trope. Here you go. Trope.
Yeah, trope.
Trope. Trope. People who whisper to themselves as they read their computer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I hate that.
I do that, though, all day long.
Gosh, yeah. I hate that, dude. I hate that so much. By the way, did you notice in the Spider-Man movies how they went from Bing to Google this time around? I don't know. Because I did it almost back-to-back. Like, I literally watched the Blu-ray day before because I hadn't seen it. And I went from that to this. And in that first one, they were Bing all day.
He
was searching
anything,
on Bing constantly.
I didn't see anything beyond all the Sony. There was so much, right, a lot of so Sony. Much Sony all over that movie.
That's true. But yeah. when they used actual Google, I went bah! Like that in the theater. My wife hit me. She's like, stop it.
Remember, speaking of product placement, remember when Evian was the thing? I mean, that was mm-hmm. that was the water. Yeah. It was the big only ass, water.
Big ass bottle of Evian water.
Yeah, there was no right? Dasani. There was none of that yet.
Mm. No.
Oh, the early days of bottled water before we created giant landfills.
Oh,
full
man.
Of plastic.
The singers, exactly. Singers used to talk about, oh, yeah, got to drink my Evian because it's great for the throat. I'm like, whatever, it's just water. Shut up.
It was always just water, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. The 90s are shitty. Can we just agree? Can we just agree a little bit? There's a few cool things, okay? Grunge was all right.
I disagree. I think the 90s were incredible.
I enjoyed my time. Don't get me wrong, but
I don't think it was. I don't think the things that were happening that were exciting were in the same places that we saw during the 80s. Like the 80s, it was all at the movies. The movies were woo.
Yeah.
It was huge. Yeah. But I think TV was really just, I mean, it was just, you know, Nickelodeon and all that stuff was just massive.
I mean, this would have been the year we were all waiting for StarCraft and Zelda, Ocarina of Time, and all these games to come out. That was going to be the next year after that. And that's when my whole video game world took over, and I kind of quit caring about what movies were as much.
Right.
When did the N64 come out? Was that
96 here in the States? 96? Okay. And then, so we were, 98 was when, so we waited a good 2 years before that Zelda title.
Mm-hmm.
People that complain about Nintendo taking forever now, they used to do it. They've always done that.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Shut up, people.
Shut up.
Shut it up. Do you guys shut up.
Do any of you remember the first time you saw someone holding and drinking a bottle of Voss water?
Voss, with the Voss, glass, yes, like, yeah, cylinder
that's,
one?
That's, yeah. That's some cool-looking water. I'll give them that. It's
you can get it now on sale at, like, TJ Maxx, of all places.
Right, yeah. Right. Because, I mean, the only reason it exists is for the cool bottle. Like,
yeah,
the
totally
water
is yeah.
relevant. Yeah. And I distinctly remember the first time I saw someone holding and drinking a bottle of Voss water, and I thought, wow, bottled water has become a fashion statement.
What did you think? I mean, yes. were you what effect did it have on you?
So it was like, dick.
So it was a CEO of the company I worked for,
yeah.
and he was he was doing one of these rah-rah speeches before a huge part of the company.
Right.
And it was like a hotel ballroom, and he had this bottle of Voss water, and I just remember thinking, man, we've gone around the end. Like, we're around the bend and into the snake eating itself with this nonsense.
Yeah,
right.
It's absolutely. It was a weird time. I think we can all.
And I love it. I love it that Voss is from a town called Hordeland.
Hordeland.
It's true. That's a true. That's true, man. It's from Hordeland.
Oh, that's
can
great.
Talk about, can Norway. I talk about a little bit of movie magic for just a second?
Ooh, movie magic. Sure. Here you go. Movie magic.
Is this,
okay, go.
Is this just something that is? Am I just in a very small environment and I don't understand the worldliness of public restrooms with windows, because I see them in the movies all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. But I have been to very few public restrooms that have
windows. New York thing or something. I don't know.
Because the plumbing is usually in the center of the building.
yeah.
Right.
Back in the day, there were buildings that didn't have air conditioning.
Right.
And so you had to have a way to get the stink of the bathroom ventilated.
But it seems like it's a lot higher. It's like a lot higher ratio in movies and TV. I mean, if you're going to have a restroom in a movie or TV show, it's going to have to be one of those old style.
Well, imagine, because they never want those things to be pristine and nice, right? Because someone's going to get their head broken on a sink, or something terrible is going to happen there. Someone's going to pee on somebody else, or in this case, decapitated, and lose your doobie.
Lose your doobie and your hypothalamus.
And they probably at some point said, well, he's going to be smoking pot. We need to hammer that home. So they need a window. I mean, I don't know how this stuff works.
And at first I wasn't sure if that was pot, because he wasn't holding it with the pinch kind of Rhodes clip hold like you'd usually have. I thought maybe just like the filterless cigarettes. I wasn't 100%
rolling his own.
Tell us more about what you know about this, Brian Dunaway.
Yeah. That's all I know. That's what
all right.
That's all I know. Pinch. See, everything you know about pot, you also learn from movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I have learned very thoroughly that the hypothalamus is in the brain.
Yeah.
Apparently, they mentioned it how many times in this movie?
Oh, my
so
God.
So many times.
You say the hypothalamus?
Take a drink. You know, poke yourself in the ear with a pen as hard as you can every time you hear him say that, and eventually your hypothalamus will quit working. Let's see. We got another trophy here. It's a kind of a weird one. Two cops or security guards, doesn't matter, walking down a dark space, joking back and forth. mm-hmm. those guys are going to die eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Now, they didn't die right away here.
This is a movie in which the black guy died first, and it was the kind black security guard.
He was a nice guy. It was a
double trope right there.
Yeah, that's not fair. Wait, I can do double tropes.
And there was a cave that looked like a vagina.
Whoops. There you go, double trope. Yeah, and there was a cave that resembled a female anatomy.
Right.
I'm talking about a nipple. What?
Right. So did you guys enjoy the sub story, the little subplot there with the cops talking about the coffee constantly? They were constantly talking about
espresso,
latte.
Yes. Yeah, this coffee's really bitter. Like at the that end, was the only last one.
Yeah, that was the only conversation they had was about that, and I kind of enjoyed that.
Those were 90s were still, I mean, we had Starbucks pretty pervasively then, right?
Yeah, that was coming along. Yeah.
Don't you feel like though now? So popular. I feel like we're overrun now with references and films to double, triple latte talk mm-hmm. and speak. Yeah. I kind of hate it. I kind of wish it would all go away.
Kind of hate it.
Like, yeah, because I don't mind. You know, I love a good Starbucks. Love going in there, hanging out. I get me a pastry, some whatever. My wife loves their weird some kind of pumpkin spice deal they do every year.
Oh yes, pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, she loves fantastic. That stuff. So I'm a fan. It's just. I don't need you to tell me, okay, if it's a movie where there's a city, every character in the movie at one point or another is going to have one of those cups in their hand.
You know, for a while, though, it wasn't Starbucks. It was those blue and white Greek coffee cups. Like, if you go back to movies in the 80s and early 90s, you look at the characters are all walking around with these unusual Greek, like, blue coffee cups with Greek logos on them. So...
What changed? Yeah,
that was a thing. That was a thing.
Starbucks changed killed everybody.
All right, that was just coffee. These are espressos.
So I laughed two times in this movie. Oh. The skull at the window cracked me up. That was asking if it could go home because it had worked itself
that
to the bone.
That was actually intentionally supposed to be funny and actually was funny.
Yeah, it actually was pretty funny. Whoever was doing that, props to that guy. That was good. Yeah.
Props.
I get it. Then the Chinese nemesis guy made me laugh a couple of times because he was so tropey, stereotype.
Smarmy, like, yeah.
Terrible.
Smarmy.
So he made me laugh. Smarmy. That made me laugh. And then also I laughed because they kept using people being thrown through glass. And in this case, this is this Hollywood sugar glass stuff that just kind of crumbles. I can't.
God, but the sound effect is this bright, screeching, ear-splitting glass breaking.
Yeah. Instead, you know, what it really sounded like was probably just like, bleh, you know, it's like a little.
I had a good laugh when Margot called Greg a gerbil.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, aren't we in an R-rated movie? Was that necessary?
Yeah. They've been dropping, Sizemore been dropping the F-bomb like all movie. Yeah. And
I think she was, you know, just trying to come up with a term that wasn't racist. Gerbil.
Gerbil. No. Hey, Asia, that's not offensive, right? Okay, good. I think you're right, actually. Because what else is she going to do? I mean, she could just call him a dick, I guess, or something. Dick goes all, that, dick yeah, works for all races.
It's the perennial or the ubiquitous dick.
Yeah, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care what color you are or where you come from. Let's see. Chinese guy is also, I know. I wrote this. I said Chinese guy to this movie is what Paul Reiser is for Aliens. It's the same. That's a big trope too.
And the guy from Die Hard, the cocaine guy.
Yep, cocaine guy from Die Hard's the other one. That's right. I couldn't think of another one last night, but there's always
How
this
about
guy.
Eric Cartman. Can we compare him to Eric Cartman?
He's kind of the Eric Cartman, except there is never any ultimate demise for Eric Cartman. And these movies always feature they always just die in the worst way. They're always the dick die. Yeah. Dick death. Ooh, we should have that. That's a new thing on the show.
Dick death.
Dick death.
Tommy and Goodfellas.
Yep. Who else?
There's a bunch though.
It's usually somebody who's
very Stifler two-dimensional. From American Pie.
Stifler's that guy?
That's absolutely.
Right. The Eddie
did he die?
Haskell
Stifler didn't die. It's gotta be somebody who dies though. That's the deal.
Okay, that's a hard one. I can come up with true assholes, but it's hard to think of ones that die.
The lawyer from Jurassic Park, he ate it pretty good.
Yeah! He's a good one. On the toilet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why that matters.
Anybody from Con Air that fits that? Anybody who's like really cocky, smarmy?
All of them were.
Well, I mean, cocky, yeah.
Smarmy. Yeah.
Oh, I got one.
Johnny
for you.
25 or whatever.
His name is. How about what's his name's character Cal from Titanic? Does he die?
Oh, Billy Zane.
Yeah, Billy Zane.
No, he survives and lives.
No, he
still. But you know what? I think it still applies here because he lived, but he had to live with it. Man, that's like dying.
What a jerk that guy was.
Yeah, he was really terrible. And it's so. I think that's the key to this. It has to be super two dimensional like that. Like they have to be just so smarmy the entire time. There's no sense of good in this guy. He's got one, you know, he's got his own plans and that's it. The guy from Scar's pretty good. But the guy in The Rock that had toward the end there where shoved one of the green balls of death in his mouth.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's one of those guys. What else? Oh, here. I like this one.
You know what? Just Panic. One last thing I want to say about the huge jerk is that the Will Smith movie Hancock is about a character that tries to overcome being a huge jerk.
Yeah,
right.
And I spent that whole movie thinking he was going to die.
Oh, really?
Whole movie.
Really?
So I think you're right.
Like in some selfless act that would redeem him but kill him at the same time.
Yeah, something like that.
I heard they were doing some sequel in the works or something. I think even what's his name from Tennessee is writing it.
Vince
Gilligan wrote the first one, so why not? He could step right up.
I remember back when I was writing Hancock.
You do sitting
on the front porch drinking a mint julep and saying, "What can I need a vehicle for Will Smith."
Oh my gosh. It is maybe my favorite impression you do. I freaking love that. I want to do a whole series of you just doing Vince Gilligan?
No, it'll go as badly as when you spring what's so and so man's power.
Oh, good point.
We should do an
improv album. Like get all night attack up on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a conversation between me, a reporter, and you, Vince Gilligan. And we just improv a whole album. I think it's a great idea. Let's get on
that. The rumored Hancock 2 is being written by Adam Fiero, who is responsible for a lot of scripting on The Shield and Dexter and The Walking Dead.
Okay, well, those shows are good, especially The Shield. So maybe that'll be fine. What was his last name? Fiero?
Adam Fiero.
Isn't that that's a Pontiac you could buy back in the day.
You could buy, yeah. You can't buy them anymore.
That was for
you still can buy them. They're just used.
That was for all the big-haired blonde girls in my high school. That's who drove those.
Yes, right. Yeah. Either gold or white Fieros.
Yep, their dads bought them white Fieros, and I hated that car. What a piece of crap that thing was. That engine was right behind your head. That's all you could hear. You're like, "Hey, thanks for asking me on this date." What? I can't freaking hear you.
But they look sweet.
I'll put my jacket in the back seat. Oh, there isn't one.
This is the car that a bunch of them had speakers built into the headrests, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
That was a good idea.
That's pretty sweet.
Well, because they had to cover up the sound of the engine.
Yeah. Here, maybe we can turn the radio up louder.
I'm pretty sure it was just a copy. They were trying to copy the MR2, the Toyota MR2, which is a way better car than the other one. Okay. One last thing I wanted to mention before we moved on to clips, and that is the head removal late in the movie when that guy was stringing down.
They actually show the
shovel.
Yes.
Yeah. The shovel removal.
That was intense and looked really good. I just want to give the movie props for that. That was
you're talking about one of the special forces guys.
Yes.
And drops down in there, and the dude is picking him up and just kind of
tears it off, pops that head right off.
Corking champagne.
Gets a little hors d'oeuvre hypothalamus action going there and then moves on to the next guy. That actually looked good. It looked good in the rain. Like it was actually kind of an impressive
The rain looked really good.
Well, I assume the rain
was just
real.
Raining.
Yeah, I think it was just rain.
Yeah.
Or artificial or not, but I think they just worked with it well. And right. It was a scene. It was finally.
Was off. Oh, it's still raining outside.
And it was one of those violent scenes where you actually got to kind of see what happened because everything else was so dark in this movie. You just never knew what the hell was happening. All right, let's get to clips. We got a few here. And they begin with this one. Screaming dude, here you go. That guy.
Jeez.
Yeah. I saturated the leaf soup.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when Film Sack finally rests, when we finally see our last movie, we got to go back and put all the Scream clips together.
Yeah.
It's
going to be ridiculous. It'll be like episode final, you know, final plus one episode is just all screams for an hour and a half.
And since I'm not going to do it, hey, dude out there that did it last time, it's on you, man. Get on it. Start getting those put together. Here's a very busy man.
I don't have time for this. I have to get my ship out of the harbor. I'm 8 hours late and there's weather coming in. Don't worry, senor. We'll take good care of your crates. Andale, pizza, yeah, yeah, pizza.
That all seemed very stereotypic to me.
Underlay pizza. Underlay pizza. I'm pretty sure
he had like a Pringles in the harbor. He has to get his chip out. Chip
out. Get the chip out. Yep.
Chip out.
Pretty bad. Like the German guy in the Spider-Man 2 movie. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
Oh, horrible.
We have you here to do tests on you. It's like, come on, man. Terrible. All right, here you go. More bad yelling from that guy. Same guy. Here you go. All right, best part of that? Best part of that is this. And I'm going to keep that forever.
That is the best.
Stop it.
All right.
That was not a method acting.
No.
That was just acting.
They said, hey, Bill, give us one of these. Whoops. All right, there you go. All right, lots of this stuff in this movie. Bees, bees, millions of bees every time I heard it.
Yes, violins up the yin-yang.
Yep. I want to watch people do that, though. Like in the pit when they're doing a movie thing.
Yeah.
Just going. It's great. All right, something about burning? All right, here you go.
Hey, didn't your parents teach you not to stare?
Didn't yours teach you not to get dressed in the street?
Oh, like burn. Ah, burn.
Ah, burn, mama. Burn.
Take that, lady.
What's your take, Scott? We got to get to it anyway. What's your take on Penelope Ann Miller?
I think she's fine. I think she's...
Oh, wow. Just that? Just like that? You're just gonna let that go?
She's a little bit of Pee-wee Herman's first girlfriend.
She was in Pee-wee Big Top and the other one, I guess. Was she in both? I guess so.
Yeah, she was in both, yeah.
She has got a...
oh, no, she wasn't in the first one. No, she was only his girlfriend in Big Top.
Who is the girl? Oh, crap. I'd have to look it up now because I just saw it again with my wife. But in the movie Mud, the mom, she's kind of a common actress, meaning she's in lots of things. But there's something kind of just normal about her that I like. That's
You're not
how
thinking
I'd say.
Laura Linney, are you?
No, no. Laura Linney's eyes are too
little
big.
Bit of a, yeah, I get a little bit of a Laura Linney.
Very Laura Linney, except for the eyes. Because Laura Linney looks like... when she sleeps, her eyes are half open. I mean, that's the kind of eyes she has. This woman is not like that, but she's she has a nice average quality to her that I think works. I like her. I think
stop
she's
a second. So you watched Mud, which has been streaming on Netflix since the day it came out on video.
I've seen it twice.
Yeah. What?
I love
Sarah
that movie.
Sarah Paulson?
Yeah. That's who that is.
Okay.
I like her a lot too.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I think Mud is.
Yeah. I need to see that.
Great.
Why?
It is a incredibly well acted kid actors who can actually freaking do something. I think McConaughey's really good in it. And I think that it reminds me of the kind of movies that nobody makes anymore, like different tone, but like The Sandlot or Stand By Me or these coming of age movies for kids that are 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with that kind of, I take it you didn't like Mud, Randy.
I haven't seen it.
Well, see it then? Gosh dang
it. It's always begging me to watch it right there on Netflix.
Oh, you should see it. I loved it.
I'm like, oh, and it's got Joe Don Baker.
It's not slow, but it's an independent film. It's set in the South, which, you know, you kind of already got me on those two points. And I just love it. That's a great movie. That's one of my favorite things I've seen lately, period. It's good. You should see it.
All right.
Back to Penelope Ann Miller. The thing I was going to say is Will Arnett was married to Penelope Ann Miller before he left her to marry Amy Poehler.
Who's he with now that he's left Amy Poehler?
Do we know? Oh, I don't know.
I wonder who he's with
Tom
now.
Sizemore, looks like.
Nah.
Perfect. His IMDb credits are about to explode.
That's right.
Love this lady right here.
Margo, I need to speak to you about your grant.
You've heard already?
I've heard something.
I didn't get it.
No, it's not that bad. It's just that the Blaisdell Foundation has decided to delay their decision.
Delay?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Greg Lee is applying for the same grant.
Oh, no. Your Chinese nemesis is
son of a...
So did she survive? That was chicken in the bucket a little bit.
To me, it was chicken in the bucket because I couldn't ever... She might have died. I couldn't see. Maybe she died.
She was in the batch that went through the maybe water.
So she got out to the safe place and...
Sounds like she was escaping the... chocolate factory, right? She was in the batch.
Right, right. Right, exactly.
She went through the tube. Mm-hmm. She ate gum and turned colors.
So. The lava tubes.
Lava tubes. You can't hear tube without hearing that.
No, I can't. You say that word and all I think of is lava tubes.
All right, here's your favorite line someone said.
You really are a gerbil.
There you go.
Ah.
Made everybody in the office laugh. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Walk.
Here's a great old line from the old man guy in the chair who I like that actor. He's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he said. right here.
Using superstition to bring people to the museum is like hiring topless ushers for the Bolshoi Ballet.
Well, if they did, I might go to the ballet.
Does that mean he wants to see topless dudes, or does that mean topless girls, or why is there always a professor in a wheelchair?
Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah, why is there? And why? Well, I know why. Because he's feeble and
because
it's supposed to be. And it's supposed to be
he's
scary.
Immobile, right? He can't fight back. He can't. He's going to be a liability. But everybody wants to save him. He's going to be stalwart and say, "Leave me here. I'll handle my." I mean, he's a that whole thing's a trope.
Yeah,
big sweaty drippy trope.
Yes, big alien dripping.
Yeah,
sweaty.
Right. Oh, yeah. All right. Here's some smart aleck kids.
You goofball, you almost wet your pants.
Yeah, you goofball. You almost wet your pants. What?
Again,
you
with
farted,
the,
didn't you?
You farted.
Again, with the euphemisms in an R-rated movie. It's just so strange how certain characters call each other gerbils and goofballs.
Yeah. Goofballs is pretty good. I like that word, but I use it ironically. I've never used it in the serious way.
You goofball.
You're such a goofball. Didn't they used to say people are hopped up on goofballs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still
you
say
did.
That.
Okay. No, yeah. I think that was an old, that was a phrase.
That's a comedian.
Please.
Who says it sometimes? Somebody says, yeah, he's all hopped up on goofballs. What's that from?
Again, other than old episodes of Extra Life Radio, I don't know.
No, that's a real line. That's from a comedian.
That's a thing. Somebody used to say
it. It's like doing the toot.
Yeah. No. Right. I've heard Patton Oswalt say it. You know.
All right.
And it's an Urban Dictionary. It says. All right.
I'm going to dig back into my archive.
What is the drug that goofballs represent? Is it like pills, Quaaludes, or something?
Probably speed or something. I don't know.
Maybe it's Simpsons it stepped up on goofballs.
Straight dope. Here we go. Urban Dictionary hopped up on goofballs. Getting off your face. Getting off your face. Hold on. Getting off your face on some sweet, harmless drugs. Sadly, it's a phrase that only right-wing zealots used in their misguided belief on war on drugs is necessary. Dude, I'm going to go get myself hopped up on goofballs this weekend. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, I remember
Movie. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Where they'd say, you're probably out there all hopped up on goofballs with your friends or something. I don't remember. Yeah. Anyway.
I miss Infendo.
Go to the straight dope. That'll tell you where it is. okay. Let's see. Where are we? Oh, I know. We're right here. Where it's a Chinaman saying something very ominously. Here you go.
Murder.
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 Murder. All right.
One more time.
One more time. Right.
Murder.
There you go. That made my daughter laugh when I played it for her.
Mood.
Pot on the what?
There's a half-burnt joint on the floor. Seems our boy was having a little pot on the potty.
Little pot on the potty. That's
so I did miss that part. That's what he said. I couldn't understand a word that dude was saying ever.
And he was always... It wasn't... well, whatever. I'm pretty sure he played two characters. He played the medical inspector team guy, and then later, I'm pretty sure he was dude in the control room, maybe... Or somewhere talking about computers being down and yelling. I'm pretty sure the same guy played two guys. Could be wrong.
Could be possible.
Somebody's uncle. Who knows? All right. Here, let's say the name of the movie in our movie. Here you go. Right here.
Well, this is John Whitney's relic. Or what's left of it.
It's his relic.
Oh, this is the relic?
The relic.
Is this the relic that I've heard so much about?
I love it. I love it. Okay. What's this? Oh. Hold on.
Down the stairs.
I just like the way he said down the stairs. That's the old man.
Down the stairs.
Down the stairs. Some rough talk from Sizemore. That's what's up next.
You can fire me on Monday, but right now I want you to shut your mouth and listen.
Ooh, gosh.
Wow.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
That's some Sizemore action
right
there.
That's just him. That's him offset. That's not even.
Yeah.
Chief Wiggum hopped up on goofballs.
Oh, it is Chief Wiggum.
Hopped up on goofballs.
Hopped up on goofballs. I can totally hear him saying that now.
Yeah.
Episode of Simpsons. That's it. That's what I was thinking of. Nicely done, Brian. Then finally, what do we think it is? I think it's the Cthulhu.
I think it's the Cthulhu.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Cthulhu?
Cthulhu. Something like that.
I looked it up. Only because I looked it up, but
yeah. Yeah, so Brian Dunaway came out for all of us with this amazing article on the making of the monster. Like,
oh, yes.
Like, these people who made this monster, first of all, they got started before the movie got started. they were working on making the Cthoga, like, without a director or a script or whatever, and they had to kind of wing it and base it on the book. And it was a really interesting article because you got the sense throughout, with their nice pictures and all these deep descriptions about what they were doing, that they really thought they were working on a better movie.
Mm. Right, right.
Well, they might have been. I don't know.
They were working.
I don't think it was the editing that hurt this thing.
No. And by the way,
How do you even edit that movie? What am I even looking at here? It's all black.
Right, right.
Cut this in.
What was I going to say about that? I forgot now. Oh, I didn't know it was a book until yesterday. I had no idea.
Right, yeah. The trivia, there was one piece of trivia that I thought was really interesting was that how long this thing lived in the basement of the museum before
right.
in the book. And it was like, oh, that would have been a really cool twist, is that this thing has been.
Right. You know what's even funnier than that? Find that's the only interesting part of the trivia.
Yeah, right.
There also, I guess, some major character was killed versus the book that shouldn't have been killed and went on to live in other. I don't know if there are sequels. I don't know near enough. I don't know
anything.
Do you
think there are really book purists that were freaking out about this movie?
Well, somebody on Twitter was. They were yelling at me on Twitter earlier. Really? Going, I'm never going to watch that movie again. They killed off an important character and there's nothing like the book. I'm like, whoa. Who knew? That's actually how I had first heard it was about a book. Or from a book. All right, so that's that. Now it's time for the checklist. The film sack checklist. Sizemore before the drugs and porn jacked him up. Check. That's in there.
Right.
Giant Indiana Jones head to get lost in. Check. Good.
That was awesome.
Go ahead and go in there. Apparently that's real somewhere.
Yeah. Didn't they film this in Chicago?
Yeah, probably. I love museums. I love that whole big open.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. A city where a museum is more important than anyone dying. Check. And that's what that's on the checklist there. Not what I learned. That's an old segment. All right, here we go. Trek stuff. Trek connections. Constance Towers.
This is Constance Towers.
I live in Constance Towers.
Yeah. It's beautiful there. Mrs. Blaisdell is the character she played. And in DS9, she played Taxco in the episode The Forsaken. When I first read it, I thought it said taco, but whatever. You take out the X and it says taco. Clayton Rohner, who played Detective Hollingsworth. I think he was the one that kept arguing with him. He was on TNG, portrayed Admiral Mark Jameson in the episode Too Short a Season. And then finally, Aaron Lustig, who played Dr. Brown, was on Voyager, played a doctor in the episode Ex Post Facto, and on Enterprise played Guri in the episode The Catwalk. Lots of Trek actors this time. Soundtrack great. I'd give it a GFJS for great for jump scares. That's about it. It wasn't really notable other than that. Just a lot of violins and jumps stupid.
It was adequate.
It was okay. Adequate is a good word today.
Mm-hmm.
This episode of Film Sack is adequate.
Adequate. I give it a solid C.
That's right. Let's sum it up in 140 characters or less. That would be you three. And we'll start with Randy.
The Relic. Don't know what to do? Let's try to make Alien for the millionth time, only this time we'll put it in a museum. Mm. Wait, everyone could have just left, right?
Yeah. Including me.
Like, isn't that the case? Like, the reason Alien is so awesome is because they're on a ship and they can't leave?
Mm-hmm. It's also a big trope that the panic of the supposed innocence, the rich gala goers are the worst. They make everything harder. Everyone's tripping over everybody. Their panic gets people killed.
But like when you get to the point where the Cthoga is gonna eat the lady, and it decides, no, I'm gonna lick her boobie first.
Mm. Yeah, that's because it was what's his face, and he remembered her from his dream.
That was the idea, right?
Great, make excuses for the Cthoga. You have to ask, why hasn't she left yet?
Yeah,
like, there's
there.
A point. Like, she could have just left.
Yeah.
It's her job, man.
Her,
you know, somebody
her
gets
job.
Killed there. She's got to come to work still.
No,
she can't
no it's
stop.
Wesley Snipes' job to come in there and kill that thing.
Well, there's that. Let's see. Who's next? Oh, yeah, Dunaway.
The Relic. Red carpet roller in a hurry. Coming through, people. We got red carpet to lay here. It's red. Best part of the movie for me.
You like the red carpet?
Because it was the only part I could see.
Yeah, it was the only part in the sunlight. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Even the museum was dark. What are they doing there?
Yeah.
I don't know, but
their,
I was really
exhibits
thinking,
aren't very good, so.
No.
Right. I hope those red carpet rolls don't get paid by the hour because
it's all union stuff.
It's quick job. Quick job.
Ibbot.
The relic. Only one thing can save us from the otherworldly screeches of homeless vagrant rapists. The mayor's wife's cleavage.
Nice. That mayor couldn't have been more stereotyped in his own fun way.
Yes, awful. Right.
Well, here, just handed to me while you guys were doing your little 140 characters thing. Just handed to me the alternate title for the film. They were going to go Fright Night at the Museum.
Yeah, I actually like that.
Or Nothing Creepy About a Hot Young Lady Changing in Front of Grandpa. And they decided to go with The Relic. That's fine.
My alternate title was Mimic with an Rel.
Nice. With Cthulhu or whatever. Mm-hmm. Adam wrote in an email, and we're going to read an email right now. Emails can come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. Adam says, just a bit of extra information to clarify what you guys were talking about during Death Race 2000, our last film. The swastika is a symbol featured in the center of the Nazi flag. It was adopted as the flag of the Nationalist Socialist German Workers' Party in the 1920s. The Germans abbreviated this to Nazi because it is less of a mouthful. Before World War II, the swastika was used in a number by a number of people and organizations for all sorts of things. It strongly associated itself with earlier 20th century aviators who considered it a good luck charm. The Air Force of Finland adopted the swastika on their official roundel, the painted disc that you see on the tails or the fuselage of the plane. You guys know the stuff there?
Yeah, yeah.
Little logo, basically.
Right. Hitler.
In 1928, and has that was in 28, and has actually retained to the present, to the present. The symbol was used in various places around the world long before popularized in Europe.
Blah, 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 blah.
Most famously by Indian religions like Buddhism, Jainism, and Hinduism. Anyway, the more you know, says Adam. Thanks for the historical perspective, dude. We appreciate it. Next up on Film Sack. Oh, man. I don't remember. Hold on.
What is next?
I'd like to point out that even our viewers who listeners who are write us long Death Race thoughts and don't talk about the movie.
Yeah. Oh, totally. The movie wasn't really good.
They veer off in other directions as well.
Mm. Oh, did somebody sent me a Twitter post about this? You guys see this? Do you remember the cow car that was in Death Race? Was actually purchased by someone local here to where I live, which is a small place.
You should go get a picture.
I gotta track him down. He posted a YouTube video back in 2011. He was getting ready to restore it. I don't know what kind of longevity he had on it, if he quit on it or not, but I gotta find it.
We gotta make sure this movie we're watching next is on Netflix still, but I believe we're seeing Bulletproof Monk.
Yeah, we missed Some Like It Hot. I don't know if you mentioned that yet, but we missed it.
I wouldn't say we missed it.
Yeah.
We dodged it. How's that?
All right, we dodged that bullet. But
it's
bullet,
worth seeing, but not for film set.
Yeah. Bulletproof Monk, though, is still streaming and available. Oh, and I should mention, the reason we did The Relic and it's not streaming, but you can rent it everywhere.
Because we hate you.
Is not because we hate you. It's because it was also streaming for a long time, and it's been on and off our list a bunch of times, and we got DVDs given to us like last year, and we thought, well, we may as well just go get this thing done. So here it is.
Do you remember who it was that gave us those? I'm trying to look to see if I've got those notes.
I don't. I'm terrible at that name.
If you gave us The Relic, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And email us, and I'd be happy.
Would you like them back?
We'd be happy to mention you next week if you send me an email, so let me know. 2003's Bulletproof Monk is the movie next.
Brian from Denver.
Brian. Yeah. So it wasn't you, though.
It was not me. It was a different Brian from Denver.
All right.
The other one.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian from Denver. You don't have to email us now. We've just said thank you to you now. Bulletproof Monk, be here next time for that. Now, this is not next week. Let's make this very abundantly clear. Next week is Mother's Day, and some other stuff kind of going on that are going to make it hard for us to have an episode. So we are bumping a week. No episode next week. The following week, which is someday I could look up, but I'm too lazy to do it right now. we'll be having another episode of Film Sack, and it will be Bulletproof Monk, which I never saw. So I'm anxious to see
it.
May 18th. Thank you very much. Really? Is that... Oh, my gosh. 2 weeks away and it's already May 18th.
Oh, I know.
It's mysterious and the immortal Tibetan Kung Fu master and his protector of an ancient scroll. He meets a street kid and hilarity ensues. So...
I'm not amused.
Chun Yao Fat and Stifler are in that.
Great. Right?
Isn't it Stifler?
Really? Another Stifler? Yes. I'm going to say another Stifler movie. Yep. We just saw him in The Rundown, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
so this is like Stifler. The Kung Fu version of Rundown. Is that what we're saying?
That's basically it. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Right. That'll be next time. In the meantime, go to our website, filmsack.com. Great comments happening over there. Love what's happening over there in that way. So please continue to be a part of that. Oh, I don't know why that's playing. That shouldn't be. Go
bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Sorry. I don't know what happened there. Filmsack.com is that place. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Your thoughts, your recommendations, your feelings about things we talk about on the show, all are welcome. On Twitter, we're at Filmsack. And leave us a review on iTunes. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
You are such a gerbil.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Oh, I don't know why I made a fart noise right at the end. What was that about?